wherever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. We are once again the last few guys to do a podcast. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown here. Talk about everything going on in sports for our 59th episode. Ben Moore from 247sports.com. He'll be joining us in a few moments to talk Georgia State football. The bowls have been announced. Panthers traveling to Tucson, Arizona, where they're going to leave their home out there. And that's a very bad Get Back reference. I thought I could do it a little better than that, but maybe I'll try a little later on. To play the Wyoming Cowboys, their third bowl appearance in 5 years. We'll be talking that. We'll be talking Georgia State basketball as well. Panthers have won five straight since losing to Duke and Georgetown. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll talk about a lot more as we move along here in the hour. Again, here with the guys, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. And, oh, this is Ben calling in right now. So we will put that on hold as we bring in Ben Moore from 247sports.com. Ben, how can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on, John? How you doing? Good evening.
Doing good, Ben, doing good. So Georgia State going to Tucson to play Wyoming. You know, I've heard that the Arizona Bowl, the Tucson Bowl, was kind of in the mix for a while now, so I really can't say that this particular destination is a surprise.
Yeah, it's one of, I thought, three legitimate bowls that Georgia State would get selected to. Certainly we know with the season that Appalachian State was having, they were, certainly getting, ranked and winning the league yesterday. Kind of locked them into the New Orleans Bowl unless something funky happened, them getting a potential nod to a New York Six Bowl or even a non-New York Six Bowl. But they slotted in there in New Orleans, and, the Panthers are headed out west to spend New Year's, the run up to New Year's Eve in Tucson, Arizona. So it'll be an interesting matchup there with the Wyoming Cowboys and, another Mountain West opponent. I think this is the third that the Panthers have faced all time in program history and should be a good matchup.
And I think two of them were in bowls. San Jose State was the other one. That was in their first bowl appearance, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's correct. And then the home and home against Air Force. So,
right.
It's going to be pretty interesting. Wyoming's not particularly good offensively. They really, really struggle to pass the ball. Have run a couple quarterbacks in and around. Offensive line's kind of been in flux. They do a pretty good job running the football, and they have a solid defense. So it's going to be a tough task. And as we've kind of taken a look at it too, it gives Dan Ellington and those who are kind of walking wounded another week and some change to get ready and get healthier, if you will, and before he plays this final game in a GSU uniform.
Exactly. You bring up Dan Ellington again. He was kind of maybe, what would you say the last two games, 60%, 70% after that ACL tear, which I think is amazing that he's able to play on that personally.
It's just tough, you saw he really was limited in playing the App State game at home. He kind of got to use and realize, hey, look, I need to be a threat even in the run game and gain a yard or two, just not to be a stationary figure back there where people could just tee off on the inside run game.
Right.
But you did see him very early, kind of have some mobility against Georgia Southern, and that I think that even got pushed a little bit. You saw some of the offensive play calls really start to kind of get out of kilter a little bit as the Panthers were trailing there. And I think it's tough. I mean, the Georgia State offense had been very, very balanced all season long. And then, of course, with Dan going down with a knee injury, it's very difficult for him to even to step into throws. You've seen him, concentrate on short and intermediate throws. You really can't wind up for a deep ball and put your whole leg into it. And he's spoken about that over the last few weeks, talking about how much he has to strengthen his calf and his hamstring and quad to support that ACL tear. So it's an unbelievable effort the last few games, and very interested to see what he brings in his final college game.
Exactly. He'll be a month between games, so that's going to help him out a little bit. You talk about the balance. I think that was the key for Georgia State's success this season, that effective balance between the run and the throw, the fact you got Trey Barnett and in the who's running the ball and then throwing the ball, Roger Carter, and a host of other wide receivers. For an opposing defense, you didn't know what to expect. That really helped Georgia State's offense. And now with Ellington gone down, as you said, they can tee off on the run. But turning it around, what do you think the defense has to do looking at Wyoming? Again, we really haven't looked at the Cowboys that much. We'll do a deep dive in the next month or so. But basically on the surface, what does Wyoming bring to the table that's going to challenge the Georgia State defense?
Yeah, they run the ball. They're not afraid to run the ball and line up and just kind of coming at you with some physicality. And I think that's the biggest struggle that Georgia State has had this year in their front seven. The front seven is very small for FBS standards. They run a base 3-4, have really, really struggled against the run and really struggled to get off the field consistently and come up with big plays over and over routinely. And really, especially the first part of the season when the Panthers got out to a 6-2 start, you're in a situation where, the offense was humming at such a high pace that the defense really only needed to come up with one or two stops in a game, and the margin was pretty substantial. And I think, this is a winnable game. I haven't seen a line spread or anything like that jump out from our folks out there in Vegas, but it should be a pretty even game, just, strength kind of against strength there. The Georgia State defense has been ravaged with injury. Certainly, we know the injury to Ed Kearney, right up the middle, senior leader Remy Lazarus in the back third at safety. But it's allowed some younger guys to step up and play. Been really impressed with redshirt freshman Zach Dixon, who stepped in an inside linebacker, and some of the younger defensive backs as well. They're getting opportunity, and that's the biggest thing. You're only going to have one senior on the defensive side of the football that's going to play their final game. Everyone else basically from this roster will be back. So it's a huge learning opportunity for the young guys, the freshmen and sophomores, to have an opportunity to play in the postseason and continue to grow and learn, and allows the staff as well, like you mentioned, a full month to prepare for an opponent. And now they know that opponent, they can plug the film in, find out what they do well, what they need to attack, and where they can attack this Wyoming Cowboys offense.
Yeah, Wyoming did win six games. They are bowl eligible, so they're not a pushover. We're talking with Ben Mort from 247sports.com here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast, John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, and Leon Brown. And I think, Leon, you got something?
Yes. How you doing, Ben? All right, going into this bowl game, are we looking for Georgia State to shoot it out, or are they going to try to make it real ugly with that rushing attack?
Yeah, I really think an up-tempo. I think an up-tempo plan is the play there. You saw that immediately. Georgia State wanted a tempo last week against Georgia Southern, just really didn't come up with it. Had a couple fourth down plays they would want back. And I think, again, some additional rest to Dan Ellington, they want to do that. They definitely want to pound Trey Barnett in his final college game. And I'd be very interested to see you as well if Seth Page is able to come back. He's the backup running back and an absolute home run hitter who struggled with the lower leg injury basically for the last month of the season. So the more rest, the more time off that this team can get, I think is a positive to heal up and get better. Been very interested to see, as well, what kind of playmakers will be back as well. Sam Pinckney broke his foot. He's out for the season as well. And I know John mentioned Roger Carter. Aubrey Payne is another guy as well who had kind of been banged up a little bit, missed a couple games due to some injury there. So if the Panthers are able to get most of their offensive weaponry back and keep Dan upright, which they just did not do a couple weeks ago there in Statesboro, if they're able to keep him and protect him, the Panthers should be able to put up some points on the board for sure.
Right on.
Daniel? Hey, Ben. It's Daniel. Can you elaborate on, the incredible job that Sean Elliott has done thus far? He struggled last year, but then came back, and now this team is bowl eligible. Can you just elaborate on how everybody is accepting and how everybody is just taking the job that Sean Elliott has done?
Yeah, it's been pretty impressive. And it's been one of those situations, too. I mean, he took over a very, very senior-laden roster 3 years ago when he took the job in Atlanta. It actually was just today. It's his three-year anniversary of being the Georgia State head
Absolutely.
Coach. He was officially named a coach. And it's been good to see the growth of this program in a hurry. And I think he really has focused on recruiting and finding – as good a talent as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And the previous staff a little bit took some risks on guys and kind of wanted to go a long game in developing those guys. And now I think you're seeing 3 years later, 2 and 3 years later, it's why the roster really flipped and turned completely over. I mean, this is 75% of the roster belongs to Coach Elliott and his staff. They've recruited these guys. I believe the number was 46 or 47 freshmen and sophomore have played this year. There is a ton of youth on this roster and certainly bodes well for the future. We're already running the numbers as signing day is less than 2 weeks away, but 66 of the scholarship players as it sits right now will return in spring, and there's already 15 commitments as well. So you have 81 scholarships. So this, you know, save two or three guys, this is basically going to be the roster in 2020. So it's a great opportunity to kind of, in play. They've done a great job really looking at, using the freshman redshirt rule to their advantage, basically saying, hey, you know, we're going to play these guys up to 4 games and let them have the opportunity to get on the field while not burning that entire redshirt year. So they've, you know, put guys in position on both sides of the ball, the offensive and defensive line and linebackers, and to get them the opportunity, get them the college football experience, giving them playing time to grow. But no, Coach Elliott continues to do well. I know in our 24/7 composite rankings, Georgia State currently is 81st in the country for the class of 2020. That is a even big step up from last year's impressive class that was ranked in the top 90. So very, very strong class. And as we see some rumors and rumblings around the Sun Belt, I know Appalachian State's just about to lose their head coach, looks like, to Missouri. That news broke about an hour and a half ago.
Right. Oh, wow.
You know, could be some moving and shaking there as well. We know this is really the silly season as folks start taking jobs all over the place and other jobs come open. So it's very, very interesting to see how, you know, if anyone comes off this staff as well, because we know, with success breeds other people's eyeballs. I mean, Brad Glenn had the Georgia State offense humming at such a pace. They were, I think, at 1.6 or 7th in the nation in rushing. So that raises eyebrows. But if Glenn's back in 2020, he's got a loaded stable of offensive linemen as well as running backs as well for Sean Elliott. And should be a pretty interesting year as well, having to replace key guys. But I think Sean has done a very good job here. He is the winningest coach in Georgia State's young history. So that's certainly something that is is good with those 16 wins there in 3 seasons and the 2 bowl games. But I know he's looking forward to an 8th win, something the program has never done, and continuing to put those benchmarks higher and higher.
And he's got 9 all-conference players when you include the honorable mentions, too. I think that's very impressive, too.
And you talk about
– Yeah, no question.
I'm sorry, Ben. Yeah, you're talking about this roster is the same roster we're going to see in 2020. Of course, the notable exception will be quarterback. Dan Ellington, of course, will be gone, but the 3 people right now on the roster are only freshmen. Cornelius Brown, Kirsten Harvey, that really might be the only potential weak spot for Georgia State.
Yeah, Jameel Muhammad is another
guy.
He's actually sitting out. Yeah, Jameel Muhammad is actually sitting out. He was a transfer from Vanderbilt. They were hoping to have him for the 2019 season. He had, was an early enrollee at Vanderbilt. Scored 2 touchdowns in the Commodore spring game. Transferred immediately after spring, as it looked like he wasn't going to be able to play, and the plan was to redshirt him. He came in, and they was not able to get him the waiver there by the NCAA. Ended up being a good thing for him, I believe. If you look at his high school film, he looks a lot like Dan Ellington. Very, very mobile quarterback, can get out in space and run or make plays with his legs. He's going to be a guy that's chomping at the bit. As you mentioned, Cornelius Quad Brown has already played in 4 games this season. He will not play again because the staff does not want to burn that red shirt. And then you have another guy by the name of Michael Calisardo, who won the state championship in South Carolina last night in Williams-Brice Stadium, where the University of South Carolina plays. He is the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of South Carolina, one of the top recruits in the state of South Carolina, and he's signed with Georgia State. He has already actually graduated high school, and he will be enrolling at Georgia State in January. So it will be a battle royale in spring for the quarterback battle at Georgia State, and certainly taking like we mentioned before, a whole lot of powerful pieces there on the Georgia State offense for whoever this quarterback that wins that race.
Of course, the ironic thing with Jameel Muhammad transferring from Vanderbilt, if he had stayed, he probably would have started for the Commodores against Tennessee last week. But let's just, because quarterback was a very, very fluxy position for Vanderbilt. And looking at Wyoming, they are kind of a mirror team of Georgia State because they've got their 7-5. They've got that SEC win. They beat Missouri, and they've also defeated Texas State. So really for Georgia State, it's like looking in a mirror, a team that wants to take that eighth victory on the year, do it because they've already gotten those established wins as both Wyoming and Georgia State look to take that next step up in terms of program recognition.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity, and I think it's another opportunity for the program to gain. I mean, we know they've been to two bowls now. You know, gone 1-1. Wyoming is certainly not a name team that a lot of folks nationally will know, but I know it's important as well for the Sun Belt. I'm on a group text with a bunch of the publishers from the other 24/7 sites around the Sun Belt, and they talked about it legitimately. But it's important for the league to go and to show well, you know, put up a 3-2, 4-1, even a 5-0 type record in the bowl game, because national perception is based on the bowls. Right. Right, wrong, or indifferent. They want to see how they're going to do against other teams from the Mountain West. You know, the peer conferences. You know, against Conference USA or AAC. Or certainly MAC. Foes as well. So it is a huge opportunity. As I mentioned earlier, a huge, potential, another feather in the cap there for Georgia State to try to go get that eighth win on the season. And how much more that is important in recruiting as well, getting out there and showing folks, hey, look, we're not telling you it's being built. It's actually being built. And we're showing you on the field with the results and seeing all the young guys that are playing on the field and showing that. I know Coach Elliott and the staff have been very, very busy on the road the last couple of weeks, and the contact period began December 1. So they're looking to kind of finalize these last pieces while getting things ready for the bowl as well. So it's certainly a juggling act for the staff. Huge moment coming up for the Panthers on the 31st.
Oh, yes, and I think going to Tucson, Arizona is another step, because this way they're no longer going to Orlando. Getting a new environment, and boy,
a new environment in there, right?
Exactly. Going to the Valley of the Sun in Tucson. All right, Ben, before we talk with Ben Moore from 247sports.com, the Georgia State editor, I want to talk to you a little bit about men's basketball before we let you go. Panthers, after that Duke and Georgetown twin bill loss, they have not lost since then. 5-0, two games in overtime, victories over Charlotte and Dartmouth, went to California, won both the games over there. What has been the key for Georgia State and Rod Lanier in terms of getting this program? Looks like they haven't missed a beat from last season.
Yeah, really, really, really impressive, as you mentioned, the road trip. And when the schedule first came out, you looked at road games in the same weekend at Duke and at Georgetown, which at the time, we expected certainly Georgetown to be pretty good and potentially be an NCAA tournament team. They're under Patrick Ewing, but the Panthers have shown very well. They've been very disciplined. They've been very strong offensively. Been one of the top offensive teams in the nation so far. And they've had a guy, and something that Coach Hunter used to struggle with a lot is getting his transfers going in a hurry and kind of having a ramp up period. From that, Corey Allen is a special scorer, and was one of the elite shooters in the nation 3 years ago for the University of Detroit. They did not win a ton of games while he was there, but he was a very, very good scorer and shooter from three-point range. I think either his freshman or sophomore year, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was third or fourth in the nation in three-point percentage, and just an elite scorer and elite shooter. And he stepped right in, made big shot after big shot, and Cordy, of course, the game-tying bucket against Dartmouth at the Sports Arena the other night, and then finished the game with 8 threes and 28 points. And, he started warming up yesterday, on the road as well against Mercer. And I think this team will continue to get better. There's so many young guys, that are in this lineup. I mean, I've been really, really impressed with the freshman big men, Joe Jones and Jalen Thomas, both freshmen big men, and both of these guys. You can just see the potential just oozing. I mean, Jalen Thomas is a 6'10 center. Joe Jones is a 6'9 power forward. It's a very, very different brand of basketball than certainly what has occupied Georgia State the last few years. And, most folks may not follow the preseason rankings in basketball and things like that around the Sun Belt, but the fact of the matter, there were not a whole lot of folks who thought this team was going to do anything And they've already sprung out to a 6-3 record, and
absolutely.
And have held serve at home again, which is certainly nothing, nothing, not a surprise for this program being 3-0 at home. They just don't lose home games in the sports arena. It's a very difficult place for opponents to come in and win. So, been impressed with Coach Lanier and the job that he's done, but also credit to his assistant coaches. I think that's a big part and an underrated part as well. Having Jarvis Hayes on the staff, having Cliff Warren on the staff to work with the guards, having Chris Kreider on the staff. You've seen development from game to game, and I think those lessons against Duke and Georgetown have certainly paid off so far.
Yeah, Leon's got a question, but I just want to point out, shooting 46% from the floor, 42% from three. So this is a team that can shoot very well. Kane Williams, 14 points a game, leads in assists. He's definitely come up well for the Panthers. Leon.
Hey, Ben. I mean, wouldn't that be so huge for Georgia State? I mean, I don't want to count my eggs before they hatched. But for Georgia State to suffer so much subtraction during the offseason, to not only come out 6-3, but at the rate that they're playing now, if they could keep up the consistency, will actually be NCAA tournament eligible. I mean, wouldn't that be huge? I mean, to actually land a tournament berth. First year head coaching, new team. So much attraction. I mean, there has to be movie rights in the making for this one.
He's going to have to win. Well, he's going to have to win the conference.
Yeah,
exactly. No matter what, unfortunately, it just comes down to a couple of days down in New Orleans. But no, I mean, the sign is there, and I actually asked Kane Williams about that in preseason media day. I mean, I asked him specifically, and you know, with so many people counting you guys out, what do you think about that? And he said, "We're not going anywhere. The path to the Sun Belt still comes through Atlanta, comes through us." There's an expectation of winning in this program, and that won't go away. And the guys who have been in this program, like Kane Williams and Damon Wilson, you know, those guys basically who, have been to the NCAA tournament and in the last 2 years lost games, certainly to Houston and Cincinnati in the previous years, they understand, hey, look, this is what it takes, and they can, you know, coach these younger guys. I mean, Damon is really the only senior, who in the main rotation of Chris Clerkley technically is a redshirt junior, but he can exhaust his eligibility this year. You only have one senior on this team. So they're very young, very inexperienced, and you're going to continue to see them grow up. And I think these battles, certainly against some solid, mid-major competition and an even higher major competition, as I mentioned, the two freshman big men, there's just not that depth of big men in the Sun Belt. It's a very guard heavy league. You may have one team or two teams that have ace guy that's 6'8 or 6'9. Georgia State can run in four different guys that are 6'8 or taller. So I think that was a huge push for Coach Lanier. He wanted to get this roster larger. I love Malik Bentley to death, but he's not a center at 6'6 and a half. And that's certainly what the Panthers started last year in an NCAA tournament team. That will not be the case with Rob Lanier. The fact he values rebounding, he values basically steals, holding on to the basketball, turning the other team over, and just pounding them. That's been another thing that I've been really impressed with, just the physicality of this defense in the last few games. As evidenced yesterday, I think the team had I know Jalen Thomas had five blocks by himself, and that's really what we've seen. I think the focus has also been there. This is really, really tough all season, is what Kane Williams told us. They've been super conditioned. They've lifted harder than they've ever, feel stronger. They feel faster than they've ever been. And I've been really, really impressed. One area that I always circle on a box score is, what was the free throw percentage. And the Panthers have absolutely shot better from the line. Slam it inside and are not afraid to take that their opponents and attack. And they may capitalize from the free throw line. Pretty impressive stuff there. And, again, it's just going to continue to grow. I think you've got one or two more non-conference games left on the schedule. And then it's Sun Belt. It's Sun Belt play.
Sun Belt play starts next week, actually. Texas State and Arlington come
Texas
in.
Texas Arlington, yeah.
And then,
exactly.
And then the final two non-con games at SMU and then home against our favorite school, the Middle Georgia Knights from Cochran, Georgia. So, and then – but really, you're right, Ben. Sun Belt play is actually starting right now. They're going to have exams this week, and then get down to the business of the conference. And they're very, very good position to do well against those two squads coming to the sports arena next week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the league as well. I mean, the league's been pretty balanced. It's been impressive to see and kind of keep an eye on some of the the newcomers, the relative newcomers in terms of how the roster has flipped over. You know, Texas Arlington was at the top of the league. South Alabama was picked at the top of the league, kind of watching their games. And, you know, we all tend to look around in non-conference play and see how the rest of the league is holding up and how they're doing in their, battles that way. But, I definitely see, again, I would be absolutely stunned if Georgia State's not in the top three as we approach, the middle to end of February, jockeying for those final top position that certainly is so valuable in the league play, is getting that double bye and headed down to New Orleans a couple of days later than the rest of the league.
Exactly. All right, Ben, we're going to have to leave you there. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. We'll talk to you more in depth as Georgia State moves in the basketball's half the schedule. Hey, are you going to Tucson?
I don't believe I'll be headed there. Ah. New Year's in Tucson. It sounds fun. We may be watching from afar. But I think there'll be some watch parties all around Atlanta for Panther fans.
All right, we'll have to hook up with you for one of those.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Ben, appreciate
it,
buddy.
All right, that was Ben Moore from 247sports.com talking a little Georgia State football, Georgia State basketball. Panthers in Arizona, Tucson, playing Wyoming Cowboys, and the basketball team 6-3. They've won 5 straight. They're going to start Sunbelt play next week, and that went good. Conversation went a little longer than I might have wanted, so we're going to have to get into these other topics really quick. First off, LSU, Georgia, Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner. Discuss.
He had the moment. He had a second moment, and the moment that he had was the 71-yard play. Where he eluded the same guy twice and actually eluded like 3 sacks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and then throws the ball downfield and hits his man for a 71-yarder. Yeah, this guy's also taking the Heisman away from anybody else who had with that play alone. Yeah, whoever had aspirations. Listen, Georgia, let's just face it. They had no chance.
It's another big game that Georgia didn't show up for.
Yeah, but they had no chance. They were playing the best team in college football.
Right.
This is the best team in the country, and the committee made sure of that.
Right.
You know, by ranking them number one and giving them the closest location geographically, because that's the criteria. The number one seed gets the closest geographical location.
Yeah, they get to choose.
Yeah, right. And they get to choose, so they chose Atlanta.
Right.
Which is fine.
That's, yeah.
You know, so they're playing Oklahoma, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Oklahoma 4. I don't think we can sit up here and argue about that.
No, rightfully so.
No, rightfully so, right? You know, so.
I like it.
And I can break down reasons why that's the case, but, you know, we don't have to.
Yeah, we gotta discuss Mr. Fromm. Mr. Fromm has yet to win a shootout this year. I understand he had the missing wide receivers. He had key subtractions on defense. But history's not going to remember that. History remember the results. Mm-hmm. And the results are that this man's going to have to come back first senior year. And he's going to have to win some shootouts next year, convincingly, if he wants to hope to get to the NFL.
Here's the thing about him winning. He wasn't. It's going to be hard for anybody to outshoot LSU,
yeah,
period.
Very difficult.
It's difficult, and you can tell.
Right.
Joe Burrow has an AK-47 going on. I mean, let's just face it.
Absolutely.
The guy is throwing the football. He's the all-time leading passer in SEC history now. So it's just crazy. What was that, single season? I think he broke the single season record for that. It's just crazy on how this kid has just came in and just.
Joe Burrow's NFL ready.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to see him. Right. That's what I'm saying. It just became obvious.
Yeah, you know,
we're going to see Joe Burrow excel on the next level. Mm-hmm. But when I look at Mr. Fromm, and, you know, Jake is, you know, he's pretty much, he'd be entering senior next year, which you have to come back for.
Mm-hmm.
This is making Justin Fields people look like absolute geniuses to a certain degree. Like, yeah, we weren't staying for this because that means he's going to be playing behind this man for next 3 years.
Well, if Fields has stayed, I think Fields might have beaten him out.
Yeah.
Oh, without question. Yeah, I think so.
I believe they would have. But
let's put it this way. The fans would have been clamoring for him after that South Carolina game.
Yeah, but UGA is known for running with a traditional style offense. They like traditional quarterbacks. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. And it was in, I believe it was in Justin Fields' best interest. And as we see, it's working out just fine for him because they will be representing the Big Ten in NCAA playoff and be able to compete for the NCAA championship, which I think, you know, based on how spectacular this man is, he's not really the most dynamic with his feet quarterback, but he's pretty dynamic. I think they have a good shot of anybody to win it all. It's, you know, I like this, you know, between him and Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to run with the younger Justin Fields. You know, but back to Mr. Fromm, he's going to have to come back for his senior year because, you know, he has yet to win a shootout this year.
Right.
I'm talking about this year. I'm not just talking about the debacle that was LSU because I agree with Daniel. I don't, you know, it was Joe Burrow is about heads and shoulders over anybody in SEC right now as far as quarterback concerned. That's just painfully obvious. Mm-hmm. But with Jake Fromm, you know, he only won one game this year. In which he threw the ball more than 30 times.
It was exactly 30.
Yeah, it was exactly 30
times. My bad. It was exactly. He's never thrown the ball more than 30 times.
Right.
In which he won a game. And that's required when you go into an NFL. Because you're going to be throwing
the
ball.
Was that the Notre Dame game?
No. It was later in the year.
It was later in the year. It might have been
maybe 2 games ago.
Might have been Kentucky.
It wasn't against Auburn.
No, I think it was Kentucky.
Right. But non-ranked opponent. But he has never won a shootout against a ranked opponent, never won a game that he has to throw the ball more than 30 times against a ranked opponent.
Right.
I mean, this gentleman, he's a game manager. And if you have next-level aspirations, you cannot just be a game manager because, as we've seen, Georgia State's running game cannot be guaranteed, unfortunately. So, especially in big moments, I mean, that was a bigger moment as any. And last night I looked at, you know, granted it was a big game. Granted they may have been a little bit overmatched, and it was obvious. You know, granted, Georgia had a lot of subtractions on offense, but at the same time, it was an opportunity.
So. And
Dominic Blaylock did suffer a torn ACL.
Yeah, oh. Blaylock had a torn ACL. Yeah, the third play of the game, I think it was for them. Yeah.
He's Mookie's son.
Yeah, Mookie Blaylock's son. That's right.
First out of Tyler, Texas.
That's right. Absolutely.
Dalton High School.
Dalton High School, yeah.
Just up the road from where we are.
And what was that? Cager is out.
Right.
Right. Pickens. Just not a smart move by him last week. They missed him in the first half, and it clearly showed.
Oh, yeah, because of that fight.
And you know what? Let's give kudos to LSU's defense, who their defense was not good at stopping catching running backs who caught balls out of the field. But, man, to hold Georgia to 10 points, I mean, LSU's been getting to a lot of shootouts, and that means their defense had been – faltering a little here and there.
I think that last touchdown was against their second string.
It was.
Yeah, because they didn't really count.
3 points.
So really 3 points, you know. And there are two defensive backs on LSU's team that are – well, I know one is going to get ready to be in the NFL, but the other one's going to be a star. Grant Delpit and Derek Stingley Jr.
Who gave Jake Fromm all kinds of heck last night.
My goodness, yeah.
And I think Stingley, I remember him from the corner from the Raiders. Yeah. He got paralyzed in that hit in 1977, 78.
Yep. Whew. So those guys are going to be, you know, they're going to be great. They're going to be some good guys. And Stingley, he's a freshman, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So
he has about another 2 more years to run to just up the score and up his ante.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Listen, the top four teams, I think those are all national championship games.
Yeah. The NCAA definitely got it right.
They definitely got it right. Oklahoma is the best one-loss team, and everything just fell in place for them. Mm-hmm. All Utah had to do was lose, and they did. They didn't come up with the best effort against Oregon. I don't think they was ready to come and play that Pac-12 championship game Friday night. Oklahoma, it basically came down to the Oklahoma-Baylor winner. I don't think you could –
Yeah,
you could deny that. You know, you can't put two lost Alabama in front of another. Nah. Neither
one
of those.
The committee would love to. Well, the committee, according to Paul Feinbaum. You know, I think he's of the opinion. Well, America wants to see Alabama regardless.
Well,
if they're 1-10, we want to see Alabama. No,
if you leave it up to Paul Feinbaum, the whole NCAA, it would be three SEC teams in
Clemson.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right.
But yeah,
and that would have been an interesting case too if Clemson would have lost to Virginia,
which we all knew they weren't.
No, you know, there was a it was a slight case where they did tie the score at 7.
Right.
It was like, oh, okay.
Where's the thunder and lightning?
There you go.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's going to be a great matchup though. Very great matchup.
Yep, and I'll say it right now. I'm going to, again, LSU. I'll go with LSU and Clemson in the semis and LSU to win it all.
All right, I will actually go with LSU, Ohio State.
LSU. Now, I want to be the contrarian. Can't do it.
No, you can't pick against LSU. Can't do it.
I'm running the Big Ten versus the SEC. Mm-hmm. But
Against Clemson, though. Clemson's defense is outstanding.
Clemson is just unproven to me.
Exactly.
That's all. Right. You've been kicking cans all year.
But it's not their fault, though.
No, it's not. ACC, they're in the ACC.
The ACC, for lack of a better term, sucks.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's kind of like the same reason why Georgia State, in order to make the NCAA tournament, has to win their whole conference.
In basketball, correct.
Right.
Right.
There's just no respect there. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because they have Appalachian State in their conference.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Who I believe is number 21. 19. They're 19
now?
They'll
be 19 now.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're still not the highest ranked group of five team. That belongs to Memphis.
Right. And Ben was correct. Eli Drinkwitz, their head coach, just signed as the new head coach of Missouri.
At Missouri. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, we see the whole coaching carousel starting to unfold. So.
It's interesting because, you see how Appalachian State just lost their coach because, it's a cost mm-hmm. of success, cost of doing business. Well, we see the same thing with Coach and Reinhardt, because they're doing a lot of winning, and I'm pretty sure that's raising a lot of antennas.
Right.
Around.
Well, they are. Well, maybe if they were going a little farther, but they lost in the first round the last 2 years.
Right.
And that Marion just defeated three Mid-South teams in their home facility to advance to the national championship against Morningside to be held in 2 weeks in Ruston, Louisiana. Home of Louisiana Tech. They moved from Daytona Beach. I don't understand.
I know. Warm weather.
Why are you going to Ruston when you're in Daytona? Yeah. I just don't understand.
That would be a beautiful thing, man.
It would be.
Well, I don't know how the weather is in Ruston. So.
Well, it's going to be in December, in late December, early January. Well, late December,
late
2 weeks.
December,
so.
In 2 weeks, yeah.
So, but still. His predecessor, Drew Kronick, when the Lenoir Rhyne opening came along, yeah, he went for that. But
yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if that will happen with Coach Miller. I just don't know. You see people in the NAIA, they stay there for about 15, 20 years.
And yeah, that's true.
And I have seen nothing to
15 to 20 years?
Yeah. Tell me that he won't. If you're doing well.
A whole generation. You're going to spend a generation.
Well, the head coach over at Lindsey Wilson's been there for about that long, I think.
So we're talking about despite success. There's nothing wrong with NAIA coaching,
No.
Some people have different outlooks in their quote-unquote coaching life.
Some people value stability.
Right. And if you're comfortable where you are, mm-hmm. if you're comfortable with your settings and your surroundings, then why would you move?
Right.
You're a
staple in the community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Think about Coach K. He started coaching at Army, but he went to Duke. But he's had plenty of offers from the NBA, to succeed.
Yeah,
he just didn't want to.
He took advantage. Because anytime there's let the Olympic team call.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, that's something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Semi crossing over to the dark side.
I only got these folks for 2 months. at the least.
Exactly. I can put them up 10,000 miles away from everything they're used to.
Exactly.
So they have to play basketball.
Right.
So we're the last three guys to do a podcast. John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. We're just talking college football, switching it over to the pros. Atlanta Falcons, another meaningless victory over the Carolina Panthers. Guys, if you're going to tank, go full tank. you're just messing with your draft position. You got the victory over Carolina. You're now, what, 4-9?
You're 4-9 on
4-9.
The year.
4-9. You got San Francisco next mm-hmm. in San Francisco. So there's 4-10 for you. Three more games left. San Francisco, Jacksonville, and then Tampa Bay. They might be able to go 2-1. That'll leave you 6-10. So you'll be drafting maybe 9th or 10th. But again, it's the same situation every year. We need linemen. We need linemen. We need linemen. You can get them at that level. But I think Atlanta, we want to see a sexy pick, and you're not going to get a sexy pick at 9 or 10.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It all depends on how the chips fall. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on what the other eight teams require. Like Cincinnati, for example.
Well, Cincinnati needs a whole team.
They need so yeah. They need a water boy.
Cincinnati, you're going for the best player regardless exactly. of who it is. You're gonna draft Burrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think Burrow would go number one because they have to start at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. It seems as if they have told us that Andy Dalton will no longer be their
guy.
He's
done.
Yeah, he's done. So we need to get a guy. And if there's a guy who's NFL ready right now, it's Joe Burrow because he is running a pro-style offense and he can adapt to this quickly. I mean, the only thing he may have to watch out for is the speed on the defensive line. That's right. It. Mm-hmm. But other than that, the kid can throw. He can play. You give him receivers. He's got one of the best receivers in football in A.J. Green once he's healthy.
Right.
Right.
You know, that really hurt
Cincinnati. That hurt this Cincinnati season. This season, yeah, season with out. Green being out. So, you know, Atlanta, yeah, will fall to 9. I think the pick that everybody wanted was Chase Young.
He's not going to be that long.
And Chase Young will be 1 or 2.
Right.
He might be 2.
Yeah, he might be 2. And what we would have to do is trade up, mm-hmm. you know. And listen, I understand, you know, listen, I understand the whole, what everybody is saying about the Falcons tanking, including you, John. You know, I understand
of course,
that.
You realize my tongue was in my cheek when I was saying
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, I understand that. But at the same time, you still want to show people that you don't want to show people your whole card.
And you want to show pride.
Yes,
At some level, you want to show pride.
This is an NFC divisional rival in Carolina, mm-hmm. who's also struggled this year.
Right.
So, you know.
Understatement.
Understatement, I mean, right? And we don't want to be – I don't care what position we could get. We don't want to be at the bottom of the food chain here. You know, we don't want to be at the bottom of the cellar.
The only thing that the bottom of the food chain, the bottom of the cellar does for you mm-hmm. is next season – you play all the basements.
Exactly.
We'll play
the Lions.
We'll play Arizona. And I think – I don't remember which one we have.
Now, we get a whole division.
Yeah, we get a whole division.
I think it's the NFC East next year.
All right, so we'll get the Giants and Redskins anyway. But, yeah. But we get Arizona. But if we figure if we get second, we'll get the Rams again. Or maybe the Seahawks. No, probably the Seahawks.
Yeah. Or the 49ers. 49ers. Yeah,
exactly.
Or the
49ers. I mean, that's not good being in the second spot.
I mean, right now San Francisco holds the lead right now, but that's because the Seahawks and Rams haven't kicked off yet.
Yeah, they're going to.
And
Carolina, we're talking about Carolina. They're turning the page on Cam Newton.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You can see that happen.
They just went public. Surgery's happening this week too.
Yeah. Yeah, they just went public that they will be accepting listing trade offers for Cam Newton.
This makes sense for Carolina though, guys, because
new owner,
new coach. Right, mm-hmm. They fired Ron Rivera this week. They fired him Monday, actually.
Right.
Right after that Redskins game. If you thought you was going to get out of there and you didn't defeat the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
And you thought you was going to keep your job the next day. No.
No.
No, no, no.
No, no.
No,
and
no
it's,
sir.
And it's safe to say that the Kyle Allen experiment has gone pedestrian.
It has. Yep. Man, and it was great. But my buddy, my coworker, Mario, he's a Carolina Panthers fan. He's from Carolina, so
okay.
He's said it oftentimes. He said, "Yeah, I mean, we won 5 straight, but now they got film on you."
Exactly.
It's film.
Exactly.
They have film on you now.
Yep. So,
exactly. You're gonna have to spend this offseason adjusting.
Adjusting, man.
Right. Yeah. Doing things differently.
Exactly.
It's no different in Major League Baseball.
Right.
Like Austin Riley, he comes up. Hits home runs all over the place. Oh, man, this kid is the second coming of Babe Ruth.
Right.
Then guess what?
What's his wheelhouse?
Film.
What's his wheelhouse? And let's adjust.
Yes.
We know. And then people are like, oh, this kid's a bust. No, he's not.
No, he's not. He just has to adjust. And exactly. People adjust it to him.
That's coaching,
it's
guys.
It's coaching, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Coaching. It's great coaching. It's great coaching.
Right. If you have good coaches who will tell you to do something differently and show you how to do something differently, you can make it. You can survive. If you don't, well, then you will be a bust.
Right.
But, again, just don't – and Kyle Allen's going to have to go back to the drawing board during the offseason. Well, those changes.
Yeah, also back to the drawing board will be my team.
And we were getting into that. The Los Angeles Chargers are ushering in the Tyrod Taylor era as they were wrapping up their game. Do you think Tyrod is the answer long term in the Chargers?
I don't know. I got to see him for a complete season. You know, the last time he played a full season, he went to the playoffs. He was actually the first team, the second team in the NFC East. I mean, in the AFC East. Is that the AFC East that we're looking at? The Patriots dominated for the better part of two decades. Yeah, they were the first team since the New York Football Jets in 10 years to make it to actually at least take the wild card in that division. And as a result, and I'm talking about Tyrod Taylor leading the Bills to the playoffs 2 years ago, and three years ago. Yes, and as a result, lost his job in the process. I guess, you know, he was the first quarterback since Jim Kelly to lead the Bills to a playoff and lost his job anyway. That's crazy. And he wound up with the Browns, which the fix was totally in when I seen that. You know, I'm talking right. about – it's like all of a sudden offensive coordinator is having Tyrod Taylor throw the ball 50 times in a game. I mean, okay. You know, then they break out the playbook for real when Baker comes in. But we see what that led to with the Baker experiment this year is just totally crapped out. And
yeah,
well, again, that's – going back to our point earlier, they made adjustments.
Yeah. Right.
So now he's got to go back and make some of his own.
Oh, and excuses are pouring out too, but we'll get back to that next.
You think that's an excuse?
Oh, no. I'm talking about I was going to get on Mr. Beckham Jr. He turns out that it's been revealed that he's been playing with a football hernia. Hmm. The better part of this year.
His football has a hernia? I didn't think that was possible.
That's what I said, but that's, I guess he's been playing with it.
Wow.
You know, guys.
Didn't know footballs could get hernias.
Yeah.
Neither. And I didn't know it could affect you, Mr. Exactly. Beckham.
Yeah. So, you know, but in reference to the Chargers, you know, I seen Rex Ryan break out a whole – I mean, this man, it was crying a river for our coaches this year. He said, you know, I guess the Chargers head coach was a good friend of his, I guess a protege. And, you know, Rex Ryan was just crying for that man to keep his job and everything like that. But I don't think it was really his fault as far as the reason why our season has went so putrid this year. It's the fact is our quarterback has thrown pick after pick after pick after pick in crunch time. We lost all of our games by like 7 points.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday, Mr. Philip Rivers.
Yes,
congratulations. You turned 38 today.
Congratulations, and you blew out the Jaguars. You know what I mean?
And scored 38 points while he was in the lineup.
Right.
How about that? Huh?
Kudos to you. Where was that during week 4, Mr. Rivers? But it's all good. We can. I like this game that Philip put up because we could use this as collateral when it comes to offseason. Hey, he still has a little bit in him. Look at his numbers he put up.
He's good as a 1 year rental.
Yeah, he broke some type of record this year where this is X amount of consecutive years of throwing 20 touchdowns or more. So he puts up stats, he just doesn't put up the ones that matter, and that's W's.
Right.
And I'm just being honest, you know, people get caught up in these stats. You know, for example, Matt Ryan passed the 50,000 marker.
Just the 10th player in NFL history to do that. That's amazing.
Which 50,000 is not what it was yesterday, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's be honest. You know, because
it's a pass happy league now.
Right. You know? Yeah. He did that in 8 years in the league. Eight years, and he threw for 50K.
Yeah.
Now it's like 50K has become the new 30. 50 is the new 30. You know, so if he could surpass 75K, which if the Falcons keep on performing, not up to snuff like they are, he may not even get the opportunity to do it in a Falcons uniform.
I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I think eventually either the fans will run him out of town.
Yeah, the Falcons got to show up because it seems like Matt is turning into. And I don't want to go off and deflect from Phillip because, you know, I got all the smoke for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we you know.
You know, I was being honest. You know, but when it comes to Matt, I don't want to call him Matthew Stafford because Matt is a former MVP and Matt has taken his team to Super Bowl and they have been to the playoffs as of recent versus Matthew. And I'm saying the reason why I even dare to put Matt Ryan in the same sentence as Matthew Stafford because like Matthew Stafford, has had a number one wide receiver in Calvin Johnson and has not performed up to snuff. And when I look at Phillip Rivers, he as well has the best wide receiver that we've seen in this league for quite some time. And he's easily the best wide receiver since Calvin Johnson retired.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yes. Yeah.
If not, and dare I might say that Julio was a little better.
Yes.
Let's be honest. Shout out to Calvin Johnson, future Hall of Famer, but I'm just saying as a fan, you know, I think Julio's a little better. But – and you're having the best wide receiver, but yet and still you're not winning shootouts. You know, the team is becoming unhappy with you. So I think I give Phillip – I mean, not Phillip. I'm getting him and Matthew and Phillip.
Yep, mix them up.
Yeah, yeah, same results, though, L's. But when you look at Matt, mm-hmm. I mean, Matt Ryan. Matt Stafford. Okay, we look at Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan plays for the Falcons.
Right. Well, when you look at Matt Ryan,
that's the one. Ryan's the one who's actually been to the playoffs.
Right. Who's actually somehow
did go, didn't he? He went 1 year.
Ooh,
went to the lost to the Saints though.
First round and out. Yeah, wild card. Yeah. Matt at least did some damage in the playoffs.
He's, there you go.
Well, you know.
Well, and also think of it as Leon. They didn't play 16 games back in the 70s and 60s. They only played 14.
Right.
Yeah, so that's two extra games. Right. If you look at the list, Carson Palmer has more passing yards than Joe Montana.
It's not what it was yesterday, was it? We're talking about the great – we're talking about five rings, Joe Montana.
Yep.
We're talking about four-time Super Bowl MVP Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest of all time, Joe Montana. And I'll be honest with you, not to really just, you know, compare eras like that, but – I still have Joe Montana as the greatest of all time over
and his playoff statistics, 11 touchdowns and no interceptions.
Yeah, I still have
in a Super Bowl game. Like, he just showed up.
Yeah.
When it was time for the big time spotlight, he showed up.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to, you know, embrace classicism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because we've never seen a quarterback dominate for nearly two decades the way that Tom Brady has. I mean, this is getting,
right.
You know, people are saying that Tom Brady is having a down year, and they're 9-2.
10-2.
Oh, my bad. They're 10-2.
10-2.
So it is a down year for Brady.
Right.
You know, he needs to retire, Brady.
That was puzzling last week when they lost to the Texans last week. That was the most puzzling thing, and I'm sitting there looking, and I'm like. But they're 10-2.
Yeah, because I seen the Patriots lose to the Jets back in 2014,
and then the Texans turn around and get beat up by Miami.
Right.
So, any given Sunday, everybody.
Right.
It could happen.
Next on the list for Matt Ryan, John Elway. He's got about 1,400 more yards. He catches Mr. Elway.
John just proving my point all over the place, huh? 50 is the new 30.
Yeah.
You know those stats. It's not gonna. You know, back in the day. 50K just you're a lock for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, lock. But nowadays, ever since the rule adjustments, you got the Matt Ryans,
mm-hmm.
you got like you just named Carson Palmer.
Yep.
You know if everybody's getting is putting up numbers, and that's why going back to my guy, Mr. Rivers, people talk about his numbers. Well, you know Phillip got them numbers. He Phillip Rivers hasn't been to the playoffs only about two times the last 10 years. You know, I don't care about the numbers. I care about them W's. I care about them letters.
Right.
You know, W, L, or T. And I don't care about them T's. I need them W's. And unfortunately, the L's have outweighed the W's.
Absolutely.
So, but do you think a team could take – we were talking about Joe Burrow earlier. How about this? Do you think a team like the Bengals could use Phil Rivers as kind of a mentor? I don't want to throw Joe Burrow in immediately. I think we've all.
Oh, he's getting thrown to the alligators.
Right. That would throw them to the alligators. I don't want to throw Joe Burrow in immediately. I want a guy, a dependable guy who can at least show him the ropes. Someone. I don't want the fan base to be clamoring for him immediately because that is another recipe for failure.
Yeah. I mean.
What if he was on a different team? Do you think it's because of the team setup or.
Oh, he's going to Cincinnati.
Right. Because
Cincinnati.
But Cincinnati to me look like they have a pretty decent football team. They've got a pretty decent running back in Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. They've got a top five receiver when he's healthy in AJ Green. They've got decent tight ends. So
it's just their defense, I guess.
It's just their defense, maybe. They don't have the same defense like when Carson Palmer and Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, Chad Numbers, whatever his name is there.
Let's run with John's theory real fast.
Okay.
Okay. So you draft Joe, right?
You trade for Phillip Rivers.
You trade for Phillip, so that, you know, so that means.
And you kick Dalton to the curb.
Okay, which that's logical. So if you sign Phillip in Cincy, do you give him a 1-year contract?
Yeah.
This is pretty much your
1 year guaranteed.
1 year guaranteed, no matter what type of season you have.
You throw in an option if you get X yards, we get X wins, we make a playoff.
So say for example, hypothetically speaking, I'm not saying this happened, but say Philip goes and sends him, and he makes the playoffs. Do you bring him back next year, or do you just kind of set the stage for Joe?
I'd set the stage for Joe.
So he's out of here anyway.
Yeah.
And correction, the Texans lost to the Broncos.
Oh, it was the Broncos that beat them.
That's even more disgusting.
Yeah.
Not as disgusting as Miami, but it's just as disgusting.
It's pretty bad. Because
Miami played the Jets today.
That's right.
Yeah, and
Denver
lost.
Will be the last team in the AFC West this season.
No. They have company.
Oh, the Chargers. That's right.
And hold on. They own the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Chargers will be the last team. But, you know, they're Denver's just as big. But the fire is still stinking whatsoever as far as Denver's concerned.
And if the Chiefs win today, because I believe Oakland lost, the Chiefs win the AFC West.
Okay.
Which they're going to do that anyway.
Yeah, they're going to do that anyway.
Right.
They don't have any more games with the Raiders, but
still. And the Raiders are so as dysfunctional. Was even
flip floppy, man. Very inconsistent.
Yeah, that which even makes Phillip Rivers even more look that much more ridiculous.
And Kansas City has a 23-16 lead, but Brady has the ball on the 14-yard line.
Oh, this is going to
come
down.
2 minutes to go.
Oh,
so
you think they'll punch it?
Well,
We don't. I'll say you say over under. They'll punch it in.
Over.
Over.
Let's go to overtime.
Overtime.
Okay.
All right.
We are the last three guys to do a podcast. John Moore, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Unfortunately, I guess if we said that, conversation with Ben Moore took a little longer than we thought because we covered a lot of different topics. But I want to talk about, for just a minute, I want to talk about the Toledo Rockets. Toledo Rockets from the Mid-American Conference, the MAC.
The MAC. Daddy.
They went 6-6 this season. They defeated Murray State and Colorado State. BYU and Western Mich won 4 in a row. They lost to Kentucky. That was their Power 5 loss. Lost to Ball State Bowling Green, but came back to beat Eastern Michigan, Kent State, before losing 3 straight to end the year, Northern Illinois, Buffalo, Central Michigan. Why am I breeding up the Toledo Rockets? Well,
I bet I know why.
6-6. They are bowl eligible. They're not going
to
a bowl.
They're not going to a bowl game.
They are the only team.
Somebody predicted that too, that they would not go to a bowl game.
They are not going to a bowl. So for all those people who are saying we are bowl saturated, we are not bowl saturated because the Toledo Rockets are staying home.
And what people have to realize, just because you're bowl eligible, hence the word eligible.
Yes.
So you're saying
that doesn't mean that you necessarily get in.
Right.
Is it because Toledo just isn't sexy enough?
That's probably part of it. Also, part of it is they lost their last 3 games to Northern Illinois, who lost to Vanderbilt. Buffalo and Central Michigan. They lost Central Mich 49-7.
You can't expect to lose to Kentucky and beat Murray State and you know, the committee look at that and say, hey, we're going to let Toledo in.
Exactly.
No. Sorry, Toledo.
So the Rockets stay home. We are not bowl eligible. We need one more bowl. We need a toilet bowl so we can give the Toledo Rockets the experience and the pleasure of getting a successful season, a 500 season. But nope, the Toledo Rockets, they are the lone outlier. They are the team looking in. Better luck next year, 2020. You're going to have to win 7 games to get into the bowl.
All right. I think me and Daniel might share this one. But
now you got it. Go ahead.
All right, this was on Mr. Tim Ryan, which, you know, I am very – I mean, am I disappointed with his comments? Of course I am. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it looked like he premeditated that. And it seems to me that, you know, he may have – you know, he may have did his research before he even did it, because to say it, to go into such detail, you know, such vile racist comments like that, as far as equating the football to the uniform to his
I got the quote here.
Skin complexion.
He's really good at that fake Lamar Jackson, as he said, but when you consider his dark skin with a dark football with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing.
You can't see the football.
Right, yeah. You know, which leads me, you know, which him not being fired, you know, first they're suspending him. I guess they're looking at a public outcry, mm-hmm. which when I looked at the mainstream media, you know, there wasn't that much. They didn't clamor for the man's job. His job should have been immediately terminated for that. And I'm going back to January 8th, 2013, Mr. Rob Parker, NFL First Take. I mean, not NFL, sorry, ESPN First Take.
First Take.
Yeah. Where he just goes off and calls Robert Griffin III a cornball, brother. Call him a cornball.
Cornball.
He can call him a cornball, brother. You know what I'm saying? It's not racist, John. You can say it. Oh. You know, he called him a cornball, brother. I know John. Even John was like, he called him a cornball. Yeah.
No,
you can say it. It's all good.
John.
It's good. Call him a cornball. Oh, and it's because of, you know, Robert Griffin's political affiliation. I guess Robert Griffin is a Republican. And within the African-American community, being a Republican can get you called a cornball. And Rob said the words, and it was good. You know, he expected to come to work the next day.
And then all of a sudden, his badge doesn't work.
Right. His whole contract was terminated behind that.
What's wrong here? Did I magnetize this thing on accident?
You call RG3 a cornball.
Yeah, but that's not the reason why my car doesn't work. Car should work because of this.
My goodness. So he goes off. Just because he calls RG3 a cornball, he loses his whole situation. I mean, ESPN starts wringing their hands. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You call Robert Griffin III a cornball. On our air. And you're fired. I mean, I've seen worse things happen on ESPN. You know, I seen Mike Green. I seen Mike Golic defend Richie Incognito after he went on his racist tirade against Jonathan Martin in 2014. I've heard Mike Golic on Martha King Day called Martha King Martha Coon. You know, that's ridiculous, John, laughing about that. I'm not laughing. It's all good. You my people, John. But yeah, I'm just saying though. You know what I mean? I've heard him say that nothing happened. So it's like for him to not lose his job after going this is 2019, this is not 1956.
Right.
I've heard Chick Hearns, who's one of my favorite all time announcers.
Well, that Fletch, he's 6'5", 6'8" with Fro.
You know. And I mean, but I think it was one NBA player happened to dunk the ball in the basketball, and Chick Hearn, like, he hung on that thing long enough to grab a banana. You know what I mean? Just like try to slip it in.
Right.
You know, just, you know, there's no place for that.
No, not anymore.
Nah, it's gone. Those days are done. You know, and when I seen the, you know, I'm talking about, and I like Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is the black guy in the room full of white people. You know, he will continue his blackness. You know what I'm saying? He's not like Stephen A. Smith to a certain degree, because Stephen A. Smith will fold up. But when I look at Shannon Sharp, they start bringing the fact that, yeah, you know, me and Tim Ryan were drafted together. Well, that's so what? Okay. We were drafted together.
That's a Wikipedia fact.
Ooh. You know, we did Sirius Sports Satellite Radio together back in the day. Okay. That man says something real racist in this scenery. If you say – check it out. If you say this show as a podcast, we get on the major platform, right?
Right.
And we say something disparaging towards Jews. Like the wring of the hands happened when LeBron James said, I got Jewish money. He had to go apologize, and it was all kind of craziness went on. He was reciting 21 Savage lyrics. I think Ice – you know, just ridiculous. I think Ice went off and busted 21 Savage after that happened too. They ran in his house.
So they did.
Let Alec Baldwin say something against homosexuals. Oh man, your whole situation is going to be inflamed. That's the reason why Mark Jackson hasn't coached in the league since then, because I believe that the owner of the Golden State Warriors, I believe that their sexual orientation is of, you know, of the LGBTQ community, not against some people, but. And Mark Jackson is an ordained minister, and I guess he let some of that seep into his coaching, whatnot, allegedly. And he hasn't coached NFL and NBA since. So I'm like, for this man not to be fired behind that, I mean, this man had a whole soliloquy about the correlation between the ball, his uniform, and his skin complexion, and him not just be immediately terminated. I gotta channel my inner Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock,
right?
And I can't do it, but I'm gonna channel it and raise the eyebrow.
He's trying to arch the eyebrow.
I gotta arch the eyebrow. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, man. You know, so that's my take on that. You know, am I saying that Tim Fields is a terrible human being? No, he just used a terrible choice of words at a terrible time. Anytime.
That was deep. So great, Leon. That was great. That's hard to follow. I'm just telling you. But we do that to each other, right? Yeah. We always come up with stories that are
hard. Everybody got their week.
Everybody has their week. So. I just want to say, my boys, first off, I'm giving a hashtag salute this time. And it's actually to Florida State. Of course, they became bowl eligible. They were selected for a bowl game. Actually, the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. Tony the Tiger is hosting a Sun Bowl.
In El Paso,
in
Texas.
In El Paso, Texas.
It's like one of the oldest bowls there are outside of like the Rose Bowl.
It is. Yeah. It sure is. They'll be playing against Arizona State.
They hey, playing Arizona State. It's postseason play. Postseason play is better than nothing. Exactly.
But I think the bigger story that probably came out of this is the hiring of new head coach Mike Norvell. If you don't know who Mike Norvell is, he just won the American Athletic Conference Championship with the Memphis Tigers, who are 12-1, I think it is. They're either 11-1 or 12-1. So kudos to them because, I mean, that was the first coach that they interviewed, according to sources. Mm-hmm. And they just liked him. They really liked him. That's what Florida State Athletic Director David Coburn said during a news conference. I was actually able to meet him when I went down to Florida State, so that was a good thing. Yeah. Norville says he's idolized the Seminoles program since he was a youngster. As a 12-year-old growing up in Dallas, the first piece of college memorabilia on his wall was a 1993 Florida State National Championship license plate. Okay. So this was the dream job for him. He's actually a fan. This is an incredible opportunity for him, and he wants to bring back the glory days. So I just want to give...
So he's saying all the right things.
He's saying all the right things, and I just hope that, you know, he gets the fan base. He gets people to buy in. That's what we always talk about, right?
Right.
When you're a head coach, you have to get people to buy into your system, to buy in. You got to get the players to buy into what you're preaching. And I believe he can. I really believe that he's going to be the coach here that's going to lead Florida State football back to prominence and back to dominance, hopefully, within the next 4 or 5 years or so.
This is the question. I'm pretty sure you represent the heart of the Florida State fan base.
Absolutely.
How fast do you expect a turnaround?
Give them 2 years.
2 years?
Will the fans give them 2 years?
They better.
Yeah.
They better.
And are you still getting tickets for their game with West Virginia at the Benz?
Ooh, that's next year, right?
September 5th.
September 5th. If my wife says that we're not going out of town for Labor Day, then why not? And shout out to my wife, Kimberly. Her birthday was Thursday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So we've been spending the weekend together. So,
and happy birthday to my mom, whose birthday was also, I believe, was also Thursday.
That's
my mother's birthday.
Wow, happy birthday, moms.
Daniel and I's birthday is one day apart, and his wife and my mother's birthday is on the same day.
Yep. Okay. Yep, because yours is the 4th.
Yours is the 5th.
Mine's February the 5th. Yep.
And I'm later on in March.
Yep.
Right on. The Aries in the building.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you're a Pisces?
Pisces.
Last day of Pisces.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
March 20th.
March 20th. Yeah, that's my great-grandmother's birthday and my little niece Anya's birthday. So,
already making plans to go to New York for that time. So.
Yep.
You ever had an Easter birthday?
No, Easter's never that early.
Easter's always in April?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Easter's like April 8th, April 15th, somewhere in that. I get the sports fans holiday, which is the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament.
There it is.
Yeah, man. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. Well, that's going to wrap us up here on The Last You Guys Do a Podcast. We'll have one more episode next week, and then we'll take our Christmas break for Leon Brown and Daniel Bolton. I'm John Morgo. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, we catch us right here on the radio.com app. Appreciate all your listenership. And again, if you got any questions, hit us up, John_Morgo on Twitter. Appreciate all of your listenership. We'll be wrapping the year up next week with our special episode. And then again, we're headed for Christmas vacation. Looking forward to getting some relaxing and recharging in. We'll talk more bowls. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk all sorts of things next week here on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be with you next week. And have a good night.
And congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. They just wrapped up the AFC West.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And happy birthday, Mom.